Back when I was lost, I can honestly say I saw something in God's people. They had something that I greatly wanted. And I knew it wasn't something you could just pick up anywhere. I longed for that. I got to the place where I wanted that peace. I wanted to know I was forgiven. I wanted to know that I was saved. And I didn't have to worry about dying and going to hell anymore. I remember those days. That's the way it was for me. And, you know, struggling with the devil, with yourself, trying to just learn what it is to, what does it mean to put my faith in Christ? What does it mean to really call upon Him? I was blinded, but at the same time, He was opening my eyes little by little. And I remember those days. People testify just like Brother Carl, and I knew I didn't have that. I didn't have it. People up in the choir smiling while they were singing, and I knew they had something I didn't have. And I wanted that. And many a times I thought I'd have traded where I was at for what they had. But after I got saved, I really thought about this. After I got saved, you know, there were still others, because, you know, I would doubt sometimes. I worried sometimes, you know, and I'd pray over those things. And the thought come to me, would you still want to trade what you have for what they had? And I was looking at men like my granddaddy. Men that I believed with all my heart, if there's anybody going to heaven, surely he was. But I come to the realization of I really don't know for sure what he has. I believe that he was saved, man of God, but I can't say that for sure for him. But I knew what I had. And I wasn't going to trade what I knew that I had for what I didn't know about somebody else, no matter how good it looked. Does that make sense to you? I'm glad that I put my faith in the Lord and my trust in Christ. And thank God for what He has done for me. Amen. Thank God for what He has done for me. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of St. Luke, chapter 9. St. Luke, chapter 9. I mean, he's glad that you're saved. Amen. Thank the Lord. Luke, chapter number 9. I want to just begin reading at verse number 18. You know this, you've heard it. And it came to pass as he was alone praying. You know, our Lord spent a lot of time alone praying. Even though he had disciples with him at times, there were a lot of times he was alone praying. And what an example. You know, it's good to have people to pray with. But the need for alone time praying is a great need. It gets our hearts and our minds really set upon Christ. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll be paying attention to what somebody else is praying. Yeah, that's right. Instead of really, and that's why alone time praying is important. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with listening to somebody else pray. We need one another's prayers and one another's strength. We do. But we need that alone praying. His disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" Now, I want to tell you something. This right here is probably the most important question, or one of the most important questions that our Lord ever asked his disciples. And I want to show you why this morning. He asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. Whom say the people that I am? Verse 20, he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." That's what I want to try, if God would be my helper, to talk to you a little bit about this morning. Is the answer of Peter, the Christ of God, to answer, that's who you are, the Christ of God. It was important that Peter answer this question in the way that he truly believed. That he really believed with his heart. Jesus wanted to know, who do men say that I am? What are you hearing? That unescapable question. Many, they had an answer. I mean, all men must answer this question. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Who do you believe he is? Who do you believe that he is? You see, that's going to determine whether he's anything at all to you or to anyone else. The way that you answer, "Whom say ye that I am?" Some said John the Baptist. In Matthew 14, Herod the Tetrarch, he called him John the Baptist. He said, "It's John the Baptist risen from the dead. Therefore, mighty works do show because he's risen from the dead." He thought he was John the Baptist. In Mark 8 and 28, they said, he's one of the prophets. Here they said, one of the old prophets. And when you think about the old prophets, you're talking about men like Abraham, Moses, Elijah, men that really
demonstrated power with God. Some of the minor prophets, some of the more near to them, time-wise, you know, you didn't, what you'd say, see a whole lot of those great signs, but they were as much the prophets of God as the major prophets were. But they said these are is one of the old prophets. The way he has demonstrated all these things, one of the old prophets. And so everybody's saying, he one Moses, one the other, Elias, one of the old prophets. You know what they're saying? He's a man. He's a man. He's a man. Just like the other men. That's what they were saying. He's a man. And Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye that I am? You see, Christ is unknown to the world. He said it in John 1, that he came to his own received him not. Came into the world knew him not. Wow. He is unknown to this world. Don't ever think for one minute that the world is going to know who he really is. They mostly think he's a man. He's a man, he's a man. He's a man like any other man, but he's more than a man. He's the God-man. Amen? He is who God said that he was. He's, again, unknown, but he's not John the Baptist, and he's not Elijah. See, to say that is to challenge his divinity. But Peter got it right. You are the Christ, the anointed one of God, the deity God, the one God in three persons. Amen?
Amen.
You are the anointed, the Christ of God. The Bible says over and over, God declared Jesus, he said, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. Jesus himself said, I am the son of God. Amen. Gabriel, you think about the disciples, the centurion at the cross, the demons by the seaside, many others, even John the Baptist, Martha, the eunuch, and so many, they all called him the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. John also called him the only begotten Son. That was important. He's the only one that referred to him that way. The only begotten Son. Amen. And they called him the Son of the Father. The Son of the Father. That's who he is. You see, in 1 John chapter 5, it talked about those that would believe upon him. Jesus himself said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, who? The Son of God, the Son of the Father, the one that God said, this is my beloved Son. You see, he's more than just a man. He's the God-man. He is the sinless man. Amen. He is God in the flesh as much as you and I mean, could ever comprehend that. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God in the flesh. Came the virgin born. He's the virgin born. He's that virgin born son.
The Bible tells us in Matthew, he tells when Peter answered, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," as opposed to the Son of a lifeless God. All the other gods were lifeless gods. He's the Son of the living God, the one true living God. That's important how he noted that. Matthew said that's what he said. Luke said that he said, "Thou art the Christ of God." No doubt he said both, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. The Son of God's used 47 times. The only begotten Son, 5 times. My Son, 8 times. It is used. The Son, 34 times. And His Son, speaking about the Father, 24 times. God wanted this world to know that He is the Son. Jesus Christ is the Son. And so Peter, answering the Christ of God, the Son of the living God, it tells us of His deity. It tells us of Christ coming, the Christ that would come, the prophesied Christ. He's the one. They debated because where He had come from, they said, "Can any good thing come out of Galilee?" Well, if they knew anything about His life, they could have found out that He was born in Bethlehem. He was brought out of Egypt after Joseph was warned. All of His life was a prophecy fulfilled. All of His life was a prophecy fulfilled. He came to fulfill God's word, to fulfill everything. Who is He to you? Is He just a man? Or is He the Christ of God? Amen. Is He someone willing, that you're willing to deny yourself for? Is He someone you're willing to put your faith in? Is He someone for you to trust your ever-living soul? That God breathed into you for all eternity. Are you going to trust that soul to Christ, to Jesus, to this man, this God-man? Do you believe that He is? Do you believe that He is? It's important to believe that He is. Amen. Again, Christ, He's unknown to the world. His divinity was challenged at every turn, every turn. I mean, He is going to be by the scribes, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees. Everybody wants to know. Everybody is saying one thing or another. Pharisees called Him, said, "This man, He's full of devils." Full of devils. Some of them said, "Could a man full of devils do these kind of miracles?" Religion didn't know who He was. Religion didn't know who He was. Religion was confused. But listen, the Word of God told who He was. See, the Word of God, listen, the Word of God is our only true testimony concerning Him. When he comes again, he said, there's going to be many say, "Lo, He's in the east. Go there." He said, "Believe it not. For as the lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So when they start screaming, "He's over here," you know
not to believe. You know to believe the words of Christ Himself, the very words of God Himself, His testimony of who He was. All that He did was a testimony of who He was. A testimony that He was the bread of life. He was the water of life. He is the giver of life. He is the resurrection. He told them He was the resurrection. Told Martha and Mary. He said, do you believe that Lazarus will rise again? Oh yeah, we know He will in the resurrection. He wanted them to know He was the resurrection. He's the resurrection and the life. Could you imagine being around Him and having been asked this question? Whom do men say that I am? Whom do ye say that I am? How could one not, seeing who He is and who He was, all that He did, and how He prayed and talked to the Father? Are you listening to me? This man who was transfigured the way He was in front of the three. How could they not say, Thou art the Christ? What else could He be? There's nothing else that He could be. In Luke 2, the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Philippians said He took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He was found in fashion as a man. If you saw Him, He looked like a man. There was no beauty that we should desire Him. Are you listening? No beauty that we should desire Him. He didn't come out with long feathered hair and a perfect complexion. Oh, He was a lowly Nazarene. A lowly man, an humble man, a man of love. But He was in the fashion of a man, in the form of a man. That's the position He took to be with us. He came as a man that hurt, that felt the pains of the rocks that He slept on, whose belly hungered if He hadn't eaten in 3 days, who got thirsty. Even on the cross, He cried, I thirst! He was thirsty. Yet God had made His soul an offering for sin. He is Christ, the one that came for that purpose. Came for that purpose. He was born into this world to fulfill all righteousness. He told John the Baptist that at his baptism. Suffer us now to fulfill all righteousness. That was everything that He was to be for you and I, what we needed, a Savior. A Savior. Listen, we didn't just need a buddy or a friend. We needed a Savior. We needed an understanding high priest. A compassionate high priest. One that knew what it was to be tempted. One that knew what it was that we went through. He was found in fashion as a man. Took upon Him the form of a servant. He was here to serve. Here to serve. Serve what? He is here to serve you and I, to serve God, to give His body, to give His life a ransom. That's what made Him the Christ of God. It wasn't necessarily all the miracles that He performed. What testimony that was in the 3.5 years of His ministry when He did so many wonderful things for them to see. He was here to suffer and die and be raised again the third day. The Christ of God. That's what makes Him. And His gospel, the everlasting gospel. He is alive forever. He is alive forever. Have you thought about that? This man, the one that people said, oh, he's one of the old prophets maybe. No, this man, more than just a prophet. More than just a prophet. Amen. He is the cross-bearing, resurrected Christ. Amen. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's ascended to the third heaven for you and I, and He awaits to come back again. The Christ of God. No other could ever do that. None other could do that. It makes Him everything that He says that He is. The Son of God. God the Son. The one that in the beginning created all things. God said, let us make man in our own image. Amen. He came and was the closest thing to the image of God that you and I could ever know. If we saw Him, we saw the Father. His holiness. You know, they've got pictures of supposedly Jesus in all these different Bibles and stuff, and always around His face they have like a sun glowing. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, but I could imagine to look at Him, you couldn't help but to know He was different. Like Moses when he came down from the mountain and his face did shine from the glory of God. I know when Jesus had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, He was transformed. The Bible says He was transformed. Even His garments were transformed. Ministered to by the angels. Spoken to by the Heavenly Father. Always doing those things that only please the Father. He had to be, His soul had to be an offering for sin. For you and me. He's Christ. He's not just a babe in a manger. When I see that, I can't help but to say in my heart, He was the Christ of God, born of a virgin. He was a Christ of God. He came from heaven to me and to you. Came to this earth. When I see that manger and Him laying in it, when I see Him as a young child, I see this is Christ of God. In all that He was, His whole life, was in that of the will of the Father. That you and I could be redeemed. If He would have made one mistake, if He had made one sin, if he had not fulfilled all that he was supposed to fulfill, a man couldn't do that. A man could not do what he did. Man would fall. Man would fail. A man would come short. A man would leave something out. He'd forget something. He'd mess up somewhere. Why? Because it's in him too. That sin nature. But Christ couldn't. Christ, he who knew no sin, knew no sin, became sin for us. The sin was put on him when he was on the cross. Our sin. Not his own sin. Our sin. There he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There the Christ of God is being made an offering for sin. He told them right after he said that, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He suffered many things before he went to the cross. You Bible students know this. He suffered so greatly mentally and emotionally in the garden that his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was under so much pressure. The weight of the world was upon him. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's another way to do this without me having to drink this cup. But he knew there wasn't. He knew it was the will of the Father for him to go to the cross. That was his human side, the humanity in him that was dreading the shame. The Bible said there was shame there at the cross. So much shame. Could you have imagined being stripped of everything that you have and nailed to the cross, put up there for everybody to behold you and watch people spit and mock as you say nothing? No man could do that. No man could do that. Man couldn't do that. But the Christ, the Son of the living God, could. He said he'll suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Can you imagine saying, the ones that are supposed to be your religious leaders are going to reject me? Those were the men they were supposed to go to for guidance. They were supposed to know the word. They were supposed to know the prophecy. You see, what did that do? That put the great question in their hands. Who do you say that I am? They asked that blind man one time, and some of the Pharisees were there, and they said, this man's a sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. But I know one thing. I was blind, and now I see. He was convinced that this man named Jesus had opened his eyes, did something that he knew only God could do. Nobody else could do, regardless of what they said about him. the testimony of them, to throw that at the Son of God, call him a sinner. How shameful. But that blind man, he had his own decision made up. Whom do ye say that I am? Standing there at the cross, every one of them had that decision to make. But whom say ye that I am? Who am I to you? He's asking. Who am I to you? What am I to you? See, not only to say the Christ of God, as in who he is, but what he is. The Savior. The Son of the living God. The Savior of the world. The Savior of my soul. Can you say, he is my Savior today? He is the one that died for my sins 2,000 years ago. And he saved my soul. He's my Savior. Can you say that? The Lord's asking you, who do you say that I am? I want you to stand this morning.